interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. And it is a Tuesday, April 9 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports taking flight on 1037 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. For the next 2 hours, inside the 237 Roof Studios, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. We might as well cue the Chubbs Peterson. Sometime last night, circa 11:30 p.m., or whenever that game ended, because it started ridiculously late, Clint tweeted out, "Do the opposite of what Ben says." I gave you Texas Tech yesterday. 80% of the respondents to our sink or swim question of the day were riding the Red Raiders as well. Guns up! But they lost in overtime. And suddenly, maybe I need to Venmo Acadiana a little bit of money.
I'm stupid. You're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're very good looking. I'm not attractive.
All right. As long as you're willing to admit that now.
Everything except for the whole good-looking part. But yes, I was wrong. But barely. Not much consolation to me. I don't like watching Virginia play basketball. And you can't make me. But I will. And I am forced to recognize the force that they are. That like Villanova, some 3 or 4 years ago, under Jay Wright, Tony Bennett, and Wahoo Nation, got over the hump. They did it their way. They did it in a game that was a little higher tempo than maybe many expected. Begrudgingly, I will offer my congratulations to Virginia basketball. DeAndre Hunter, 27-9 last night. Kyle Guy, your mop, most outstanding player, 24-3. Each of those cats made 4 3-pointers in the game. And so when you really think about the teams that made a difference in this March Madness frenzy, well, you look at the two that played last night, and it was an entertaining game, contrary to what many expected. I'm raising my hand right now. Virginia, Texas Tech. I think you would probably point toward a couple of others that really were hard-nosed defensively. Kentucky for a while, I think, really fit that bill until late in the Auburn game where they fell apart a little bit. Michigan, to a degree, Michigan State, a lot of the real lockdown defense first teams made their mark on this tournament. And possibly the most miserly of them all, Virginia, cut down the nets in Minneapolis. And it wasn't bad enough that I had to get the tweet from Clint last night at like 11:30. I got to get the text from Cousin Freakin' Dino riding high from the home of the, where was it last night? It was U.S. Bank, so it's the home of the Twinkies.
Not
the Twins. It was the Vikings.
Vikings.
From the home of the Vikings, right?
Yeah.
A house of horrors for the Saints over the last 2 years. I got to get a text from Cousin Dino, and he's basically hanging from the rafters, having a great time inside U.S. Bank Stadium. By the way, quick turnaround. Dino should be in Augusta tomorrow, and we'll have him on the program. And so everybody is riding high. Everybody is having a good time. Virginia wins the national championship. Now, one thing I do always like, I do always enjoy when you've got new blood. And we were basically going to have that either way in this game. Texas Tech for the first time ever, or Virginia, well, yeah, for the first time ever. We had a first-time champ. I think that's great in the sport. I think it always leads that next team in line to think, you know what, maybe we could do this as well. And then, of course, you look up and BetOnline.ag has the following for next year's favorites to win it all. Kentucky, 5-1. Duke, 6-1. Virginia, 13-2. Michigan State, then Michigan, then UNC, then Gonzaga, then Nova, then Kansas. Point is, we've heard of all of them. Blue Bloods remaining at or near the top. For what it is worth, out of the top 20 teams that are listed, favorites to win it all next year. And, oh, by the way, 2020 Final Four, if I'm not mistaken, in the ATL. But LSU, I think, understandably, not listed anywhere near that top 20. For what it is worth to you, Texas Tech, they are in there at 33-1, getting the same odds as Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Auburn. So very interesting. This year's college basketball season comes to an end. Next year, well, a lot of the usual suspects are predicted to be at the top. But Clint, you are just reveling in this, and I know you are, because not only did you call UVA, but you also love correcting me. And you you let me, you know what? I give you a lot of credit, my friend. You let me get all the way into the finish line of yesterday's show before you said that was just a horse bleep reference that you tried to make to Wesley Snipes in The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Upon further review, you are correct. Upon further review, Wesley Snipes
is in Demolition Man, not.
And that's not where your Element. Boy with the hair last night Chris for Tucker. Virginia. Chris Tucker. Ah, yes. Was in The Fifth Element.
Yes.
I meant to go Wesley Snipes, Demolition Man. And so yeah. Go ahead. You got some more sound. You're having a large time. Try it out.
You chose poorly.
And I did. I chose Texas Tech. I gave you a bum movie reference. And so from here on out, I'll suggest you do what Cousin Dino has always told you. Just go ahead and go oppo, like Taco, from anything that I give you. Our guy V learned that years ago when it comes to my fantasy advice. I was on a heater this year with picking football games against the spread. Clearly, that is over. The sport I know infinitely more about, follow a lot closer, college basketball. And what do I know? What do I know, man? I had Duke over Tennessee. Neither of them made it to many. Now, I did have Texas Tech get to the Final Four. I didn't believe in Chris Beard and company coming down the stretch, and that's on me. We will talk more. National championship game reaction, but I think there's some different topics we need to explore, such as tonight is the Pels finale. Do you care that much about a team that's 15 games under 500? Probably not. But when we return on the other side of the break, I'll share with you what Anthony Davis is wearing as he entered the big blenda tonight. Pels taking on the Dubs, not even sure that AD will play, but his shirt speaks volumes. Plus, we'll get a little bit of a preview, LSU Southern Baseball, and we've got two tremendous guests. After all, it's Tuesday. You've become accustomed to this, haven't you? Cody Worsham at 4:30, about 20 minutes from right now. We'll talk with a digital media reporter for LSU Sports, and we'll get a wrap on LSU's basketball season. If the three players who've already declared for the draft all keep an agent, or in the case of Skylar Mays, if he retains the services of an agent. If they're without those three, tell me about the nucleus that returns and then maybe some of the recruiting class that beginning next week could ink for LSU basketball. So Purple and Gold Hoops conversation coming your way at 4:30 with Cody Worsham. And from 5 until 5:30, not one, but two segments with Shay Dixon. Tigers football did get a commit over the weekend during the spring games festivities. We'll talk about the outside linebacker from Cali and the top 247 for the class of 2021 drop today. We've got a prospect from the Acadiana area that has made the top three. Shay will tell you about that in our open. And then when we flip the script, it's all about sports hatred. It's something I never get tired of. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Hopefully you're not tired of me being wrong yet. I'll do it again on the other side of this break on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
right back in. And yeah, while watching Virginia basketball may not be appetizing for me, I got something for you that definitely will be. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. This Friday, we're going to kick back off weekly remotes at Ruffino's on the River. I'm fired up about this. We did one last month. Again, starting this Friday, going forward every Friday for the foreseeable future, at least through August, you'll be able to catch B2BS live at Ruffino's on the River. This Friday, Ruffin will be riding shotgun, and in the 4 o'clock hour, Kevin Falk is going to join us. I highly encourage you to come visit us. From 4 to 6:30, Ruffin and I will be live from the bar area at Ruffino's on the River, 921 Camellia. But Kevin Falk's going to sit in for a portion of the 4 o'clock hour. Come out, meet both of them, shake hands, catch a drink, enjoy the Lenten menu. Just celebrate life with B2BS live at Ruffino's on the River. Yeah, we're pumped up about it. You should be too. Enough of that for now. We got more time to revel in that. CD, I've got an important question as we switch to the diamond. We'll mix a little college with a little pro baseball pleasure here.
Exciting and new.
All right, follow me first. A brief background explanation, and then we'll get to the question. The Astros last night beat the Yankees. Come from behind effort, and Ryan Pressly continues to be one of the best setup men in baseball. Huge get last year, bringing him over from the Minnesota Twins. The Stros, they're back above 500. 6-5 for this young season. Still a couple of games, wouldn't you say, behind the 10-2 Seattle Mariners in the AL West. But the Astros back to 6-5. They got Garrett Cole on the bump tonight. Now let's look at LSU baseball. Winners in five of their last six contests. 23-10 overall. Now 8-4 in league play. Tied for first in the SEC West. So on one hand, you've got LSU baseball. On the other, you've got Astros baseball. Today's sink or swim question of the day. Which championship is more likely by year's end? Is it LSU winning the NCAA baseball title in Omaha, or is it Astros baseball for the second time in 3 years claiming a World Series championship? Think on it, but not too hard, and then dial 706-0111. CD, lead us off.
If you asked me this question a couple weeks ago when the Astros season started, I would have wound up leaning towards the Houston Astros. But I think now that we're seeing the LSU Tigers we expected to see at the beginning of the season, I'm going to go with LSU winning the College World Series happening before years in, because the Astros, they haven't shown me a whole heck of a lot. It's a small sample size, but from what I've seen of LSU as of late, the offense is getting things going. Zach Hess is becoming a little bit more consistent. If he can stay that way, I think there's a lot of possibilities for LSU to get things done and be able to get to the College World Series. That would wind up being huge for Paul Menieri and crew 10 years later.
And you know what's an interesting little morsel or tidbit within the LSU baseball landscape right now? The guy pitching tonight, trying to feel his way back from arm fatigue and whatnot, Landon Marceau, if he can become a dominant part of this rotation yet again, then yeah, they've got every chance to be able to go 1-2 and then sometimes 1-2-3 when you get to SEC tournament play. But in particular, regionals, supers, CWS. They need at least one more surefire starter. And it would be nice if Hess would be solidified. But honestly, I think at this point, Zach Hess is what he is. You understand it. It may be excellent. It may be mediocre. You just kind of don't know, and that could be a little scary heading into your game one in tournament play. Clint, I'm going to tell you that the Astros World Series is the more likely of the two championships. For me, it's this simple. I believe there are fewer teams in Major League Baseball that can legit win it all than in college baseball. And in my opinion, I would look at Coastal Carolina in the last 3 or 4 years. I would look at a team that has a string of natty ships. In Cal State Fullerton, it's more possible for Cinderella to win it in the college game. You just don't really know who gets hot or who can, for the most part, at the major league level, I mean, how many teams would you say legitimately can win it all? Probably three teams in the American League, the Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Astros.
Yeah.
I'm just not putting the Indians in that group. I'm not believing in some of the other fast starts we're seeing.
Okay.
Certainly not the Orioles, not the Mariners. There's probably three teams in the American League, and then maybe two in the National League.
Yeah.
Right?
That sounds about right.
Dodgers, and then some mixture of Cubs/Brewers.
Maybe the Phillies.
Maybe the Phillies, yeah.
Braves.
Some people like the Braves aren't ready to win a World Series championship.
But they have some tools, though.
Yeah. Braves, Nats, some of the others, probably my Cardinals. I mean, they're a rung or two below on the ladder. And I don't think any of those teams I just mentioned compare to the big three in the American League. I just think there are fewer teams that can actually pull it off in the Major League Baseball ranks. So whereas the Astros, I think, are one of probably five. So depending on your view, mine would be they got about a 20% shot, and they're probably better than some of those other four that I'm grouping them with. The Astros are one of five teams that probably realistically can do it. How many teams can legitimately win the College World Series? If you say you know, you're a filthy liar. Nobody knows right now. You kidding me? You could point to the best three conferences and say probably the best three to four teams in each of those conferences might be able to get on a heater, and if they have the pitching, they can do it. I just think it's so much more difficult at the collegiate level because of some of the parity and some of the talent that is spread around. So I'm going to say that it's Astros baseball, but what's interesting is of the two, LSU right now is plodding along in the right direction. The Astros, they've got some room to grow, and it is clear as daylight for me that the Astros are going to have to add another arm before the deadline. And they're only 11 games in to a 162-game season. I'm not going to play the overreaction card, but what I do believe is this. Colin McHugh is meant to come out of the bullpen. He's dynamite. You need him for one. You need him for two. Maybe you stretch into two and a third, two and two-thirds. If you're in a win-or-go-home type of setting, I would like to see Verlander or Cole start the game. That's a given. But whether they do or somebody else does, I'd love to see McHugh in first, Presley in second, and Osuna slams it shut. But right now, they don't have that luxury. Colin McHugh's in the top five. I still don't know how I feel, CD, about Wade Miley. I don't have a world of confidence there either. I think that Brad Peacock could be a guy who sticks in that first five. But the Astros season in so many ways to me is dependent on Forrest Whitley coming up and being the bomb.
Exactly.
Like right away. There is some pressure that's involved there. So I could make a case that LSU's got more pieces in place, comparatively speaking, than the Astros do, which sounds ridiculous because of Altuve and Bregman and Correa and Springer and all the wealth of talent. But I just think the Astros are one of a select few that could actually pull it off.
Yeah, exactly. I think you brought it up perfectly. Like it's more the fact that they don't have as many like true starters ready to go as opposed to what we're seeing with the LSU Tigers, where they actually do have a lot more starters that can wind up being potentially weekend guys, but we're seeing some more getting those weekend roles to be featured a lot more, like you mentioned, Landon Marceau. And with what we're seeing with the Astros, you don't have like a true guy beyond Cole, Verlander. And Peacock looked really good in his most recent start. Did he go like six innings?
I like Peacock, and I think he stays
he's really
somewhere
good.
Between three and five. They're hoping Whitley will be one of the other guys. Boy, I think they need to make a move. And you know there's an interesting free agent that's just out there, Clint?
Yeah, what's up with this guy?
It's this guy named Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah.
And I wonder eventually if his agent is going to allow him to sit out the entire season. Because, I mean, according to all reports, his agent has turned down a 1-year and a 2-year deal from the Astros. He wants what, 4 or 5 years? He wants more longevity.
Yeah.
Is there not a way? I know the Astros are probably maxed out financially. I mean, with the moves they made right before the onset of the season with Verlander, with Bregman, I don't know that they've got the scratch to say, okay, we'll bring you on and we'll give you a 2-year deal and then maybe we can extend it. I just don't know if that fence could be mended, but man, wouldn't be a bad idea to take a look at Dallas Keuchel as your number three or four starter right now, would it?
Oh, no. I think it's just the fact that the agent needs to realize the market's not necessarily there for a guy like Dallas Keuchel, and this isn't meant to be shade at all, but
yeah, that happens in an hour.
yeah, whenever you wind up kind of like having 1 year you're Cy Young and the next year you're not so much a Cy Young guy, that winds up hurting your stock a lot when it comes to negotiations.
Yeah, and that's just based – that's going to inform you on how much they will or they won't pay the cat. But I think he's finding out, to your point, what his value is or maybe isn't on the open market. And here we are, the day after the college basketball season has ended. It is the final day of the NBA regular season, and nobody wants to go in, huh? You're going to make me wait until August to talk – fall camp before we can really start having a conversation again. Okay. I see the way it is with YP. You people out there in listener land, let's not talk LSU or Astros baseball. Who really even cares? I know you do. I'm just playing around. We got Cody Horsham coming up on the other side. We will be talking LSU basketball. And by the way, Clint, I mentioned tonight is the NBA regular season finale. Your boy Anthony Davis showed up. He's listed as probable for the game tonight. Pels versus the Warriors, 7 p.m. tip, Smoothie King Arena. Anthony Davis showed up in a That's All Folks shirt, reminiscent of Porky the Pig.
I think he just wants to be in Space Jam 2.
I don't get that reference. No, I do. But Anthony Davis in a That's All Folks shirt, walking through the annals right now of the Big Blenda. So this guy is absolutely playing the heel. It's been incredible to watch the transformation. And people 3 months ago, 4 months ago, would have thrown rose petals at the guy's feet, coming to America style, just to keep him happy. Now, man, I feel like there's a lot of people that will put a hand in the back just to see him go and get rid of some of the diva display that we've all witnessed since Clutch Sports Management got their talons into the guy. Here we go. Half an hour in, we got Cody Warsham on the other side, and then maybe we'll take a phone call. We'll see if we're blessed with that. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
I might have to shed a single tear. It's time for our final go, at least of this basketball season, with our next guest. Bumper to Bumper Sports, back in on 103.7 The Game. And let's head to Baton Rouge, aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Time to bring on Cody Warsham. He's the digital media reporter for LSU Sports. Cody, it's been a heck of a go, but it's great to have you one final time.
Yeah, good to be on with you, Ben. I would advise not crying. It's not the end. Just think of it as a new beginning for us.
I like that. You got me feeling a little bit better. I'll have you, before we jump into the LSU basketball, I'll have you tell me where I might be wrong here, because I just get bored to tears watching Virginia basketball. I always have under Tony Bennett. I recognize the excellence. I just don't like it. Tell me where and why I'm missing the boat.
Oh, man. I disagree with you so much here, Ben. This is good. What I like about Virginia is the efficiency with which they do things. They don't turn the basketball over. The stuff they run, it takes a while to run, but they run it well. They execute. They run good stuff. They run good counters. And Tony Bennett is really good at playing the chess game. There were a few moments last night where, you know, Chris Beard would call something out defensively, and that's, you know, maybe the best defense in the country, the best if you believe most of the advanced stats. And Tony Bennett had a counter for everything. He was able to get it in. Yeah, they don't get up and down and run, and they're not going to play super high tempo, and there's not going to be a lot of dunks and fast breaks. But I almost equate it to good high school basketball. When you see a really good, well-coached high school basketball team that just runs really good stuff and they're not worried about the shot clock, Virginia's kind of the same way. It's not for everybody. It's not up and down. It's not fast tempo, but there's beauty in what they do, and I thought last night they were at their best.
He is Cody Warsham, and somewhere he just made Danny Broussard, head coach of St. Thomas More basketball, give the wink and the gun. I don't have any doubt about that. But let's get to LSU hoops, and there's no doubt. I think people understand that Naz Reid was going to go pro. He's done so. People suspected that might happen with Trey Waters as well. The surprise probably for many has been with Skylar Mays. I guess what's your thoughts on what he might be able to accomplish, not necessarily at the NBA level, but as a professional basketball player? And mind you, as you well know, this is a guy who's got a future professionally as a doctor.
Yeah, Skylar's a pro. He's going to be a professional basketball player. I think he's going to I don't know what level. I think he can make an impact in the NBA. In fact, I sat next to, you know, sometimes at these LSU games, the credentialed media and the credentialed scouts are kind of all in the same place. So every now and then you get to talk to a couple scouts. And I've talked to a few scouts before about Skylar, and they all like him. They like his size. They like his IQ. They like his ball handling ability, and they like his athleticism, particularly his vertical and up and down athleticism, his ability to move, you know, both up toward the rim and then from rim to rim, running the length of the court. So I think he's got a future. And plus you add in that he's a locker room guy and a guy that's going to bring a lot of character and hard work to a NBA locker room. I think he's going to make an NBA team. I don't know if he goes this year or not. I'll say this. The current structure, especially with the new rules changes that are in place this year, you almost have to test the waters. I mean, you almost have to put your name in there. You can even hire an agent. The agent can cover your travel expenses. You can go work out with.
We'll see if we can't get Cody back on the level a little bit. CD, we'll line him back up. He disagreed vehemently on the Virginia thing, and I respect it. Because I respect Cody Warsham, his knowledge of basketball. I'm never going to tell you Tony Bennett is not a good coach. He knows exactly what he's doing out there. And I agree with Cody. The word efficient, yeah, it's at a premium with those guys. I guess maybe where the devil in the details lies, enjoy watching and know that they're good, right? Because those are obviously two very, very different things. But we'll see if we can't get Cody back aboard. I want to finish up on Mays, and then we'll look ahead to what should be the nucleus of the 2019-2020 team. And I got the thumbs up from Clint right now. Cody, we lost you at a point where you're saying you believe he's a pro no matter what, whether it's the NBA or not, who knows, but that you almost have to test the waters in this day and age.
Yeah, the new rules basically say that you can get an agent now, enter the draft, get an agent, and they can cover your cost of travel and going to work out. If you want to go back into school, you can still go back into school as long as you don't accept any other benefits from the agent. So, you know, basically you can get paid workouts and paid feedback, paid for feedback from the NBA and still come back. So if nothing else, I think it's a test run for Skylar. So he can talk to NBA scouts and GMs and they can say, hey, here's what you need to work on. And, you know, best case scenario from him from a basketball perspective is some teams fall in love with him and they say, hey, we want to take you. We're going to get you involved. So, I think it's a win-win situation if he gets good feedback that he wants to bring back to the college level and improve his game and get his degree and get set up for the future, which we know academically he's so strong. That's great. But maybe a team falls in love with him and he's making money playing basketball next year and he can finish his degree later. The new system basically says, you know, if you got a shot, you got to take a look at it.
Cody, for the sake of this conversation, let's say that Skylar keeps his name in and that everybody else currently on the roster that can return does. Understanding that, how do you feel about the nucleus that would be back for 2019-2020?
I feel really good about it. I mean, there were times this year where I kind of started looking ahead to 2019-2020 and wondered if that team would be better than this team. Now, that's a tall task when you lose, you know, if Tremont goes, that's going to be a huge replacement. LSU was, you know, I was looking at the stats. They were one of the worst teams in the country in assist rate this year, and Tremont Waters was number one in assist rate in the SEC. So
Wow. They
didn't get a lot of assists, but he got just about all of them. So they're going to have to replace that. You know, Cavell Bigby-Williams, that's going to be a huge hole to replace as a rim protector. But, you know, if you bring back Skylar and Javonte, I think he's going to take big leaps and bounds next year, especially as a playmaker. I think his assist numbers will go up as the primary point guard. I really like James Bishop, who they've signed. I think he's going to come in and be an immediate scorer for this team. You know, you bring back a guy I'm really high on is Darius Days. I thought he was great this year when he played. I think he's going to have an even bigger role next year. There's some things to like about what they could bring back next year. Still got to sort things out as far as the coaching staff goes and still got to shore up some things recruiting. But, you know, if you can bring back that core, I think you've got a shot next year to be just as good as you were this year.
He is Cody Warsham, digital media reporter for LSU Sports. You can read his work, lsusports.net. He's done some cool things with podcasting. We'll touch on that before we part ways today. I know that you can't talk about the kids who haven't signed yet. I'm not going to ask you to, but strictly from a roster management standpoint, how do you evaluate the numbers and what's left moving toward next season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mentioned James Bishop who signed. They've got Charles Manning who they signed as well. You know, that's two of the guys that you're going to bring in. I think they'd probably like to bring in a couple more at least. You know, the program in the past couple of years has kind of brought in more guys and you know, use that to address roster attrition. So we'll see. I think they've got to get, you know, another big for sure, a Cavell Bigby Williams replacement type of player. You're going to get Cortese Cooper eligible next year after he redshirted this year. But I think you need another kind of, you know, maybe a JUCO big or a transfer big who's ready to play. And then, you know, this is just me spitballing. I'd like to see him get another point guard, a guy that, you know, you're not going to get another Tremont Waters, but can you find another playmaker, another creator, another pass-first point guard? I think they like what they've got at guard with Javonte Smart and with Skylar Mays. And like I said, I'm really high on James Bishop. But maybe another guy that can just kind of come in and be a primary playmaker. That'd be kind of what I'm looking at. I think, you know, if you bring back Marlon Taylor, you got Manning on the wing, you're good there. I think with Javonte and Skylar, guys that can play off the ball, and Bishop, you're probably good there. But a big and a ball handler, I think, would be good additions to this class.
Cody, you look around the SEC, and already this offseason, they've added Buzz Williams, Eric Musselman, Nate Oates, and then a bit of a wild card hired Vanderbilt and Jerry Stackhouse. If we thought the league was already flush with good coaching, how do you feel about it now?
Yeah, it's loaded. I mean, the rich get richer. The SEC it just keeps getting better and better. And now you add in a guy that I've always admired and respected, and Eric Musselman, and I think he's one of the best coaches out there that was moving around this offseason. So that was a really good hire from Arkansas. I think Nate Oates is you know, pound for pound as good as any coach in college basketball. And then Stackhouse, that'll be an interesting one because I really thought Bryce Drew was a very, very good coach. They had some bad luck this year, and things kind of fell apart on them, particularly with Darius Garland getting injured. But, you know, Stackhouse is going to kind of go with that Penny Hardaway model of the young former player who should be really, really good on the recruiting trail. And he did really great things in the G League. I think he's the G League Coach of the Year either last year or the year before. So he can certainly coach as well. It's the league's loaded. I mean, there's no weak spots anywhere. You know, you kind of used to be able to kind of look up and down the SEC coaching roster and kind of order it pretty easily. Now I think it's a big jumble of guys who just really know how to coach, and it's gonna make the league tough. I mean, the league just keeps getting better and better in basketball. We used to, you know, joke back in the day, SEC basketball fever, when the league was bad. I mean, now it's kind of got the inverse meaning. There's some real heat in this conference. There's some real talent. Both, you know, on the floor in terms of the players, and then on the bench in terms of the coaches.
Cody, you've been bringing the listeners for months now, the Boot Up Podcast. If I'm behind the times, just educate me here. I know that you are farming out people naming your football related podcast. Is that a done deal yet?
It's in the works. Nothing I would say that's a done deal, but we've got a few ideas. You know, I was a little bit nervous about outsourcing that. That task to Twitter. Twitter can be fickle. It can be very, very helpful, or it can be something you need to stay far, far away from. But in this case, I got some very good name recommendations, including from a former Tiger Egg cohort, Luke Johnson, who dropped quite a few good suggestions in there. So, yeah, I think we've got a couple of names that we've whittled it down to, and hopefully we'll have something ready for the fall.
We've got a lot of clever people in Acadiana. I didn't know if you needed them to go to at Cody Warsham and bombard you with more, but it sounds like you're at capacity.
Well, you can never have enough good ideas. So if somebody listening's got a football podcast name for LSU football that they've got hidden up their sleeve, I'm open ears. I'll certainly take it into account. We haven't finalized it yet, but we got three or four here that are pretty darn good, and I'm gonna have difficulty deciding between. So if someone can come back and come over the top with a better one, I'm all for it.
Not a doubt in my mind that you'll regret that invitation. But I goaded you into it, so after all, I guess I should be apologizing to you. Cody, thanks again for doing this. We'll catch up again down the road. Thank you, man.
All right, Ben. Sounds good, man. Thanks.
Cody Warsham, digital media reporter for LSU Sports. Again, you read the words, lsusports.net. You've been able to listen wherever you can find podcasting. The Boot Up Podcast. And, yeah, I saw some of the submissions on Twitter. for the football podcast thing, and most of them were fairly horrific. Hey, let's wrap up this segment with a little bit of former LSU basketball player news. We had on Galen Alexander last Monday, and you know the former Bro Bridge Tiger, LCA Knight. He's going through the ranks at Jones County Junior College in Mississippi. He's now committed to Georgetown. Well, today, another former Tiger looks like he has a landing spot. Brandon Rashaw, who prepped at Natchitoches Central, won some state championships there. He has spent his last season after departing LSU at Pearl River Community College. Earlier today, Brandon Rashaw announced his commitment to Tulsa basketball. So former Tigers getting spit out all over the place. Just want to make sure we keep you abreast. We'll be right back in to wrap up hour number one, and then Shea Dixon from 5 until 5:30. So don't go anywhere. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. That was fun. Cannot believe that we're coming toward the tail end of some of our basketball season regulars. We bid adieu to Cody Warsham there. Tomorrow, single tier. Again, we'll do the same with our man Brian Snow, but that's okay. We got baseball waiting in the wings, and in fact, that's where I want to go right now. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. We'll take calls if you want. Feels like we're allergic to it today, but that's fine. Here's the number in case. No pressure. 706-0111. What we know is this. LSU at home tonight versus Southern. Going to put Landon Marceau on the bump. UL at home versus La Tech, bringing out Logan Savoy. But what's very interesting to me, Clint, we didn't have the time to touch on this yesterday with only a 90-minute show. Tony Robichaud seems dedicated toward getting Gunnar Leje to the point where he could become a multiple-game closer come the weekends. Don't believe me? I'll let you hear from Coach Robe right here.
Well, that's what he's working to try to do right now, is to try to maybe do a Friday, Sunday, especially if it's one inning. You know, the other night he threw only 10 pitches. So that's what he's trying to do. It all really goes by him, and he talks to me and Daniel about how he feels. The other day he was prepared to do six outs. The score allowed us to trim it. And let Armstrong set him up in the eighth. It might be now that he threw a Saturday, because the Sunday game got moved up. He's got now Sunday, Monday off. He might be able to now do a Tuesday and a Friday, whereas last week he closed on a Wednesday, so he had bypassed Friday.
Love it. I mean, absolutely love the opportunity. When you really need games, and I'll get to that here in a moment, but when you need games in Sunbelt Conference play, if this guy can help nail down two out of every three, I'm not going to tell you that's as important as the role that they carved out for him, the one he has filled before, right? Dominant Friday starter that gets you out to a win every single series. I won't say that's as important, but if they've got a chance to win Friday and Sunday, and he can help nail that home, Sunbelt Conference wins are probably now more important than midweek RPI loaded wins. At 17-17, I think the time has come and gone for the Cajuns to bank on really anything at large. It's about pole positioning for the Sunbelt Conference tournament. No, it's not in Lafayette this year, but, well, it was last year, and that didn't seem to matter too much. Pole positioning for the SBC tournament. Win that thing. And then see if you can't position yourself to get into a regional that way. So, Clint, this news of maybe multiple weekend close opportunities for Gunnar Leje seems very welcome to just about everybody.
Exactly, and that could wind up being huge in this weekend series, because you can save Michael Lomon and some other guys that could wind up being a closer more so, have them in midweek or in these Saturday situations. It's all about if it's available, like Tony Robichaud said, because, right, again, you could have a game kind of get out of hand.
You're getting housed on a Friday.
Exactly.
You got to change plans.
Yeah.
And then he closes Saturday if it's there.
Exactly. And then maybe Sunday if absolutely needed. All depends on what he does in that second game, if he pitches then.
As for Landon Marceau tonight, we'll go to the other side of the basin. LSU hosting Southern. I would imagine that this one will be more akin to what you saw from Mikhail Hilliard last week as opposed to Clay Moffitt. I would expect probably even less than the three innings that you got last Wednesday night from Mikhail Hilliard. I think that this is a game where if you can inch up to two innings,
yeah,
you take what you get from Marceau, right? Baby steps back in the right direction as opposed to the five from Clay Moffitt. The competition in Southern, okay, that part's understood, but this is about repetition. This is about getting some of those live reps with the lights on.
Well, it's also the fact that you have an opportunity to throw out a bunch of guys. You only have one midweek game this week. You don't have two of them like you have had the last few weeks. It's not a five-game week, so you can actually use a lot more of your bullpen arms if they're ready to go. And you got to think some other guys could be ready to go in the not-too-distant future, namely a Nick Storrs, who was practicing on the bump over the weekend.
I just got a notification, and that reminds me, I should let them know, Clint, that they can get notifications.
Yeah.
Tell them how to do it. And we just got the five-minute alert. Shea yeah. Dixon coming aboard, B2BS. That's a true story. I know that because I lined it up. He's my friend. But for people that haven't gotten the free 103.7 The Game mobile app, this is one of the really cool benefits. But you do have to enable those push notifications, and every day we'll tell you when our best interviews are coming.
Exactly. You go to one, you know, download the free app, be it you have an iOS phone, Android phone, you just download it. It's absolutely free. Just search KLWB 103.7 The Game, the free mobile app, of course, presented by Visit Avery Island.
And enable the push notifications. And somewhere, Cody Worsham is just going to come and punch me in the stomach, right? Fitzpatrick style and dirty work. I said we do it 5 minutes before our best interview. So again, Cody, nothing but the utmost respect to you. It's just that Shea Dixon typically brings the high heat, and I expect that he will again today. On the other side of this hour break, thanks for the push notification, guys. Make sure that you get your own. Again, enable all those notifications once you download the free app. If you haven't done that yet, shame on you. Before we get to Shea and that great interview, how about one final word in this hour?
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Fitting, and you got to give it up. Kyle Guy, the most outstanding player in the NCAA tournament for Virginia. Dude got engaged in February, and yeah, there's the whole thing where the NCAA didn't want him putting his registry online. Improper benefits for Kyle Guy. More problems with that organization, but it's fitting. Got engaged, best player in college basketball, at least when the lights were on and the One Shining Moment crew was counting. Congrats to that young man. It's a fitting ending for him and his team, even if it wasn't aesthetically pleasing for me. But who cares about me? Kyle Guy, congrats. It was fitting. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill up your stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're halfway home ourselves, coming back with Shea D. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now,
let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of two underway. Ben Love joined by the famous Clint D. You got an hour to go of Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And we're live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Here's the name of our game. We got Shea Dixon coming aboard 1 minute from right now. First to Cruton, then we flip the script. When Clint and I are done at 6 o'clock, we'll send you to Baton Rouge. Chris Blair, Doug Thompson, they'll have the call of LSU versus Southern, 6:30 first pitch. Landon Marceau will be on the bump for the Tigers. But do not forget Astros fans. You want to dial into the Stros versus the Yankees game two? It'll be on our sister station, The Rewind. It's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Chuck. 7:10 first pitch, 6:35 pregame show. And could somebody give Garrett Cole some run support? He's 0-2 on the season, but he's got 19 Ks to only 3 walks. He's looking for his first win tonight. So baseball feels like it's just about everywhere. When it comes to football recruiting, though, trust me, no one does it better than this guy.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out.
It's time for Shea Dixon of Go247.
Here we go. We got him in, and it's time to feed everybody's, well, recruiting hunger, if you will. Shea, welcome back in. Happy Tuesday, guy.
Happy Tuesday to you. Happy flip the script day, and happy little bit of recruiting info. Touching all bases here, Ben.
Oh, I think that we will. And before we flip the script, which we're hoping will be entertaining for the folks, let's get to that recruiting intel. I want to start, oddly enough, with the class of 2021, right? So these are kids that will be juniors next season on the gridiron. And the reason that that's a hot topic is because, well, you good folks at 24/7 Sports, you just debuted your state rankings. And I guess you did it nationally, but it gave us a little bit of illumination into the pecking order inside of the boot. And so I'll spill the beans and then let you give us details. Chris Hilton, who made the play ultimately that beat West Monroe in the 5A state title game this past December. Chris Hilton, a wide receiver out of Zachary, the number one prospect right now in Louisiana for the class of 2021. Second in line, Mason Smith from Terrebonne. Third in line, local product, Sage Ryan from Lafayette Christian Academy. What can you tell us about each? Maybe where LSU fits into the mix, and if there's anybody else maybe you like that could sneak into that mix.
Yeah, so it was a good debut, top 247. And what I mean by that, obviously, is that I think we had an initial top 100. Now we filled out the entire top 247. Obviously, it will expand further into the thousands from there. But these are your high four-star, five-star guys. And Louisiana landed 10 on the initial list. So that's an impressive start. It means that the state is going to have a lot of top-end talent. And there's about, I think there were six guys who landed in the top 100, seven, I think, within the top 102. So you get the sense that they'll probably be a little bit deeper than they were this year and a little bit more top-heavy when you look at the state as a whole. But South Louisiana representing well, and including the Acadiana area, but we'll start here in Baton Rouge, or the Baton Rouge area, at Zachary. Chris Hilton checks in as the number one player. And he was really unbelievable from a three-sport perspective. It was tough not to say, okay, he's the number one guy out there. He's the guy colleges are going to covet most because, A, he has LSU, Bama, Georgia, all these different offers. We saw what he did in the state title game, caught the game-winning ball and housed it against West Monroe and won a state title for Zachary, one of the best teams in the state at the highest level. And he's the state's best high jumper and has been since he was a freshman in high school at 5A. And he's a averages 10 plus points, double digits on the basketball court. It's kind of a 5-6 rebound a game guy. So his future is football. We'll see if he flirts with high jump in college, but there's no doubt that Zachary's got a really good sophomore in Chris Hilton. And number two, you go down to Terrebonne. The best defensive lineman and the only defensive lineman on the current list for Louisiana guys in the top 247, which is a bit odd, but certainly speaks to where he's ranked in the top 30. I think he was number 36 overall, Mason Smith. And he's got all the offers, same ones Chris Hilton has, but more. He's probably close to 20 total offers. And as I said, not surprising, people are coming in and offering the state's best D lineman. He checked in at number two, and a guy we've talked about a ton on here, was the third guy to be a top 50 player out of Louisiana in the initial rankings, and that was LCA's Sage Ryan. And I think, and probably most listening that have seen him play or heard about him or seen clips or read about it in the paper, he's unbelievable from a just kind of an athlete perspective. And the fourth quarter he had in that state title game, not only scoring a touchdown, but three of them and doing it in three different ways, I think kind of sums up exactly what makes him special. And he went over to New Orleans at the opening bin and became the spark score. Nike does a spark score, but it's kind of like an average of an algorithm that does like your 40 and your vert and your shuttle and your powerball toss and your height and weight and position and lumps it all together to give you a score. And he had the best score of anyone in the country for an underclassman, and he's only a sophomore. So a lot to love about Louisiana's class. Those guys are at the top right now, but boy, there's others out there who are certainly difference makers. And a guy you're familiar with, you like both sports, Brian Thomas over at Walker, is a top 100 football player now, and we've seen what he can do on the basketball court, as well as playing with Jalen Cook. Now it'll be the Brian Thomas show with him again next year. I've just been impressed by his kind of upside, and boy, it gives them a lot of athlete types around the state that you can feel good about LSU recruiting.
You had me until algorithm. No, I do want to connect a couple of quick dots, though, before we talk about the class of 2020. And I guess we are kind of talking 2020 because you mentioned Chris Hilton, the leaper, and what he can do track and field-wise. Right now, the top prospect, I still believe, for 2020 in state is Kayshawn Booty here in the Acadiana area, Westgate High School. And I just got done, Shay, doing a show Friday from a track and field meet. And the sentiment was, wow, if Dennis Shaver could use Kayshawn Booty as a sprinter, he needs to do that. And so maybe with this template we're seeing this year from Kerry Vincent Jr., how likely do you think it is that Kayshawn ends up running track and playing football?
Well, sprinting is obviously, you know, they're recruiting globally, so it's always tough to know. But I'll say this. Look, a guy like Keenan Jones, for instance, he was one of the better long jumpers, triple jumpers in the state last year. He's doing both playing football and doing that for the track team this spring. Dorian Campbell was a kid out of Scotlandville that went to Tulane to play football at safety. And he said, look, I'd rather just run track. And now he's at LSU as kind of a go-to track guy for them. And the obvious one, Kerry Vincent, who is very speedy, is a sprinter for, you know, them right now. So I would say likely that guys like Chris Hilton and everybody that we've kind of run through here, Kayshawn Boutte, if you wind up at LSU and you're good enough, if you're that good, they're going to find a way to use you, even if it's for, you know, only a handful of meets.
All right, let's wrap it up with our man Shay Dixon on the recruiting front. But after we're done, make sure you keep reading his work, go247.com. Jaden Navarette, outside linebacker in this 2020 crop, commits over the weekend after taking a visit in from California. And so you called your shot there a week or two ago. Ogeron, LSU with a heavy presence in Cali. Tell us about this latest prospect to pull the trigger.
Yeah, Jaden Navarette out of Norco, California, not to be confused with Norco, Louisiana. He's a 6'3", 235-pound kid that they've been after for a while now. They'd already gotten him to campus before. He comes down again. And this is a product of, a lot of people thought he would go to Southern Cal. A lot of people thought that about Elias Ricks too, LSU's top-ranked commitment, who also comes from out of California, a five-star in the number one corner. And they also have Jordan Berry committed, defensive lineman out of Narbonne. So Navarette makes number three. I would expect more to follow. And now I think Navarette really confirms something that we guessed was happening with Ricks and then with Berry, is that Ed Orgeron, who coached at USC, has multiple staff members right now at LSU who coached with him at USC, and has other staff members who have plenty of ties to high school coaches in California. So if UCLA and USC kind of suck, and California, they do in 2020, have what people out west are saying, hey, this is probably the best class in California they've had in maybe 10, 15 years, that's a bad time for that to happen for the Trojans and Bruins. And typically it's your Oregons and your Washingtons, as the schools or Stanford, that, you know, will go and take all these guys. And now we're seeing LSU say, hey, let me get a piece of the pie. And it won't be surprising to me. Navarette is a top 20 prospect in California. So is Ricks, that by the end of it, if they don't have three or four of the top 20, 25 players in California signing up to play for the Tigers this year.
Crazy developments from the left coast. All right, we got to take a quick intermission. When we return, we tell you all the time, but we'll reaffirm it. When it comes to sports, hate is stronger than love. Hate, hate, hate. And this is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Get in on the conversation. Call on the game hotline. 706-0111. 706-0111. The Major
League. We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 1037thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 1037 The Game.
We're going to do things different.
Can we be just like we were?
flip the script.
It's time to flip the script with Shay Dixon on 103.7 The Game.
You know I'll flip.
Back in business and back to what we do best every single Tuesday. It's a part of Bumper to Bumper Sports. We call it Flip the Script, and it involves our good friend. As you just heard Coach O say, it's Shay Dixon. Go247.com. He's right back in with me on 103.7 The Game. And now the show, the baton is his. Taking a run with it, my friend.
Well, word through the grapevine, Benjamin, was that you were hating on Virginia, and you took one on the chin because you hated on them sort of for a while there. And I don't know how long your Virginia hate goes on, but I imagine that you're the type of guy right now. It's like a player hater's ball, right? The Dave Chappelle Show skit where you're kind of just hating on teams and it doesn't really matter the reason. You're going to find one. You're going to stick to it. You're going to hate on them. I can't imagine this is the first time you've done this. Virginia is not your virgin play here. So you got to now open up. Give me, let us inside Ben Love's mind of who are the Virginias before this year? Who are the teams or the people or whatever it is that you've been hating on for a while now?
You know, this part might not surprise you, but I kind of also hated the teams that Tony's father coached for quite some time, and that would be Dick Bennett and the Wisconsin Badgers. Yeah, I think I took one on the chin, as a lot of people in South Louisiana did way back when. I think it was either 2000, 2001. I want to say it was 2000 when Dick Bennett and Wisconsin beat LSU in the Sweet 16. They actually made it to the Final Four that year. And those Badger teams, in a lot of ways, resemble these Cav teams. They're boring as hell. They're defense first, which I can get on board with defense first, Shay. After all, I've covered LSU sports most of my life. I can get on board with that. But the fact that there's just no real offensive threat consistently, that they hide the offense, they don't express it, I've always struggled with the family Bennett and a lot of their teams. But I'll stop hating on just one family because I can spread the love here, or actually the hate. I hate the New York baseball Yankees, so the late 90s, kind of a tough time to be me. I don't mind sharing that with you, but I've never reveled in their success in a sport where larger markets can finance teams that have a better chance at winning. Yeah, just in general, it's hard for me to root for the Yanks, the Sox, the Dodgers. I just don't get behind them. But the Yankees, to me, are the most hated. The game's kind of been always stacked, or at least the deck has felt stacked, in their direction. So that's another one for me. It's not necessarily era-sensitive there. I'll give you another one that I just almost universally can't root for. You and I love the beautiful game, Shay. I cannot root for Real Madrid. And it's a lot of the same things as the Yankees. So when they play Barcelona, yeah, give me Messi. Give me Barcelona. I just am a little more excited about them. Not that they're any less powerful, but Real Madrid, their whole mystique, buying everybody that plays elsewhere. I know. I'm sure Barcelona does it to almost the same extent, but I've never been able to root for Real Madrid. And then, look, here and there, there have been teams that have cropped up, that specific era teams that I just couldn't stand. But the other one that just year in, year out, it's an annual hatred for me, Florida Gators Athletics. I have no problem telling you that, like a lot of people feel about Bama here in South Louisiana, Florida is my Bama. I'm man enough to acknowledge that. I don't want any part of the Gators, the Jorts, the Tebows. I don't want any part of a place where Urban Meyer was once a legend and he fake croaked his way out of. So for me, that hatred runs awfully deep. So I really probably only gave you one era-sensitive team there, right? Wisconsin basketball for a stretch of time. But look, if I dug deep enough, I could probably find a lot of them because, like this Virginia team, if I just don't like the way you play the game, it's hard for me to root for you.
Oh, well, there's got to be a central theme, right? Because you kind of jumped around a few there, but is it like the fans that make you hate a team the most, or is it, you know, as you say, is it the scheme that they run? Is it the coach that you hate, or that with the GM, I guess, in the case of, as you said, spending money, the president? What is the ultimate kicking factor of, I will probably hate you quickly?
At the professional level, it's probably if you're the big bully on the block, and that you really just get yours because financially the game's not rigged to stop you from getting yours if you can foot the bill. I just never have had any respect for that. Now, on the other side of that, you would look at now the Miami Marlins, what used to be the Florida Marlins. hey, they won two ships and then they had a fire sale. I'm not saying that's a healthy method either. So maybe it's just Major League Baseball that's screwed up in that direction. But I've never really liked the bully that financially is able to gang up on everybody else. I think in the case of Florida, it is absolutely the fans. No problem telling you that either. But it can be schematic slash specific to the coach. I don't want any part of an Urban Meyer coach program. So, yes, how I felt about Florida extended its way to Columbus, Ohio for much of the last decade. So it kind of depends. But ultimately, if I feel like you have an unfair advantage when you shouldn't, if you've got a bag that's leading your program, yeah, I think it's pretty easy for me to rally some hatred around you. Now, there have been others, right, from time to time. There have just been some programs, by the way, that I just thought that they were always overrated. So Texas football under Mack Brown for me, basically every year, but Vince Young kind of felt that way a lot. And so it kind of just depends. If you're getting too much hype, you got too much money, I kind of like to see people knocked off the perch a little bit there, if that makes sense.
Okay. I can dig it. You're the see you also, I guess when it comes to rappers, you hate like the Drake, who like if your teams are or like the John Cena of wrestling, if your teams are like the Lakers, Kentucky basketball, and the Yankees or whatever, like you're not about that life.
Oh, you mean people that were Michael Jordan fans that then translated to be Kobe fans and are now LeBron fans? No, yeah, I'm not too fond of them either. The front runners of the world need a bit of a reality check. So, yeah, I'm kind of an anti-bandwagoner, if that makes sense, too.
Someone, I figured this is good to bring up to you, because you like the NBA. And when back in the day, before you were married and you were still kind of running around the beat with time to kill, you were the type of dude that was NBA TV packaged out and would watch it all and deep into fantasy, so you get it. And you watch all sports, so I guess you appreciate it all. Here's where I'm going with it. Last night, during the final 30 minutes of real time or whatever of the Virginia Texas Tech basketball game, national championship, I saw a number of tweets that said, man, college basketball is great. If the NBA were this great, I would watch it all the time. If the NBA were this entertaining, I'd watch it all the time. And Gabe Brooks, and he put it on Twitter, he's a scouting analyst for us that does football, but is a big NBA fan, had a great response that made me chuckle and made me think of you. And he said, responded to someone who said that, and he said, man, you're in luck. You should watch the NBA. Everyone is way more athletic, way more skilled, and can, he knew, to do everything at a higher level. And people kind of laughed it off. But we'll ask you seriously, did people not give the NBA enough credit to just sit down and watch it? Would more people enjoy the NBA? Because I feel like most people who hate on it probably don't ever watch the NBA and just know it's a long season, and I'll pay attention at the end.
Two things. One, it's about the money, and I think that the majority of America thinks that the NBA is full of a bunch of overpaid babies, whiners, floppers. They just don't like necessarily the image of it. But if you like basketball, it's impossible to do anything but recognize that it's the highest form played on the planet. I'm sorry, it is. And so, look, it's the money that goes into it. I think there's a bit of an image problem, and part of that may stem from the demographics, and I don't really want to go there, but I recognize that it exists, especially in the Deep South. When you're talking about the NBA, I've just lived my whole life here, so I recognize it as a fact, even if I don't like it. But here's the other thing. People don't like the college game better. They like the college game's tournament format better. That's what's so appealing about March Madness, right? Win or go home. Not the best of seven. It's win or go the bleep home. It is brutal. There are upsets. There are 16 games that are played in a day. And by the way, when you wake up tomorrow, there's going to be 16 more on the opening Thursday and Friday. So it's the format, Shay, that's better. For my money, and we talked about the beautiful game earlier in this segment, for my money, there's only one global tournament format that's better than March Madness, and it's even debatable in my mind, and that's the World Cup. Because, let's be honest, when you have to go through qualifiers, that's nice. But then people pay attention when you get your pool play, right? You go within your bracket, it's round robin, and you get the points, and the two out of the four with the most points move on. And from there, then it's knockout, and then it really is the exact same thing as the NCAA tournament. So people love the format, Shay, and it came to a head last night in a game that was more exciting than many anticipated. The format's better than the NBA's. I think that's the biggest factor.
Yeah, you're probably right. And I would then, I think that you probably tap into 90% of people who are watching the NCAA tournament. Not only aren't watching NBA regular season, they're not even watching much college basketball regular season, unless it's the team that they follow.
That's exactly right. These are not year-long college basketball aficionados. So good on Gabe Brooks to call BS. I do too.
Hey, that's a good way to end it. Just calling a little BS out.
That's all we do here. In fact, as soon as you're done, we're going to take a break. Then I'm coming back and throwing shade. Shay, thanks for joining us again. Have a great Tuesday.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Hey, before we hit that break, one other thing we'll do. Remind you, look, the clock's ticking. You have less than 40 hours at this point, something like that. Enter the 2019 Masters Tournament Challenge. It's your opportunity to win a $100 gift card to golfballs.com. The only way to do it, it's free and it's easy. Go to 1037thegame.com. Click on the featured image. You'll see it. It'll be really big. It'll say Masters Tournament Challenge. And then just pick the winner. Boom, you're done. And you're entered to win that $100 gift card to golfballs.com. If more than one person picks the same winner, we'll put all entries into a raffle and select just one. Like the Highlander, there can only be one to win the 2019 Masters Tournament Challenge, and you enter on 1037thegame.com. All right, we're coming right back in. It wasn't pulling Shay's leg. We are going to throw shade. Rick Pitino and St. John's, come on down. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're going to come right back on 1037 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato. The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with. Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game.
How about some Pels updates before game 82 tonight? One of them more relevant long-term than the other, and then you know that the shade is coming. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. It's just kind of what we do on 103.7 The Game. How about those Pels updates? The one that's more timely but less relevant long-term. Alvin Gentry said moments ago, Anthony Davis will not play tonight. The Pels are 33-48. The Brow showed up to the Big Blenda in a "That's all, folks," Porky Pig shirt, and I'm not joking. Well, that is all, folks, dealing with lower back spasms. I'm using air quotes for emphasis. Anthony Davis will not play tonight. That means that he is officially, I think we can all speculate, played his final game in a Pelicans uniform. The more interesting tidbit long term, and CD, this is a Woj bomb. That's how you know it's true. That's how you know it's good. Adrian Wojnarowski from the Mothership reported earlier this afternoon that Pels interim GM Danny Ferry is meeting with franchise officials today about the permanent GM job. Ferry is the final interview among several candidates, including David Griffin, formerly of the Cavs when LeBron was there, Larry Harris, former Dookie, Trajan Langdon, Gerson Rosas, and Tommy Shepard. So again, if you were scoring at home, those seem to be some of the closest to the crown. These might just be your final candidates to be the next Pels GM. Danny Ferry, only one that would be promoted from within. David Griffin, Larry Harris, Trajan Langdon, Gerson Rosas, and Tommy Shepard. Just thought that you should know. And this is something you definitely need to know. It's your daily reminder that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their professional installers. One, you can trust them inside your home. Two, you can trust them to beautify life outside your home. Collectively, the pros at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. And all it takes to start is a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Chris Mullen is out at his alma mater, St. John's. Side note, as we begin, I wonder what that means for the future of Greg Williams Jr., former LCA Knight. We may have to revisit that later in the offseason. But back to the shade. There's a vacancy at a major college basketball program. And wouldn't you know it, that Rick Pitino wants to maybe nose his way into it. The first bit of shade comes from the New York Post. You got to love their headline with this whole situation. Leave it to New York. Toxic Rick Pitino campaigns for St. John's job with a New York demand. If you're wondering what that demand is, I'll tell you. Pitino, 66 years old, originally from Long Island. He's currently coaching in Greece, in case you didn't know. Pitino basically said, if I don't get an apology, nay, he demands an apology, and if he's not publicly cleared by the Southern District of New York, he won't even grace St. John's with the opportunity of giving him this job. What a prince. Here's the exact quote, according to the New York Post. My point is, I have great respect for St. John's, and in order to be in that environment, people would have to know the truth. Earlier today, this is what Pitino said in a phone interview. I've never, ever, in 40-plus years of coaching, ever given $5 for a player to come play for me. You can ask Donovan Mitchell, Derek Anderson, Antoine Walker, all the guys I recruited. There wasn't a shred of evidence except for a con artist mentioning my name, and they never rectified it, never came out and offered me an apology. Southern District of New York just says you're collateral damage and says the hell with you. Pitino, as feisty as the New York Post headline. But there is a little more. In fact, I think in some ways, this quote is maybe even more shade-worthy. And it's according to Adam Zagoria, Zagsblog.com. Here is the text, and he just kind of gives you the screenshot of a text that Pitino sent him. Again, this is Adam Zagoria. Tom Jurich is one of the best ADs I've ever worked for, and that includes the likes of Lou Lamoriello and C.M. Newton. Secondly, neither Tom or I had anything to do with that sex scandal proven by the NCAA. As far as the Adidas situation, I had no knowledge of anything that was being done behind our backs. I would bring St. John's to the elite level not seen since Louis roamed the sidelines. But before that could ever happen, the Southern District of New York would have to apologize for ruining an innocent man's reputation by putting his name in a complaint. So good luck to my hometown university, because that's not happening. Digest all of that and the amount of egotism that has to be just flowing through Rick's brain. And he's one hell of a coach. I'm not going to debate that. But the guy says I'll have it rocking like nobody since what? Louis Carnesecca? Yeah, we'll get that thing rolling. You never seen anything like this. I don't know anything about the sex scandal. I don't know anything about the Adidas things. Things that happen with my program behind my back, that's not my responsibility. Yes, it is. Just like it is for Roy Williams at UNC with what classes your players are taking and if they're actual real classes. Just like, you're Muffet LSU fans, it is for Will Wade if he actually has said the things that are heard on wiretaps and reported to be on wiretaps. Again, Wade will have his day in court, and it's probably coming within the next 2 weeks. Roy Williams, boy, he seems to be impervious somehow. But you got to love the way that Pitino ends it. Good luck to my hometown university, because that's not happening. Throw everyone under the bus. Rick, hey, man, you got no moss on you, brother. You're just as straight and narrow as there could ever be.
Done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
In this day and age, I better not see any more glass houses. I think everybody is dirtied up at this point. So, man, the idea that somebody like Rick Pitino, I'm owed an apology. If I get it, if I'm publicly cleared, then maybe I'll grace you with an interview, St. John's. Maybe I'll allow you to interview me and pry me away from Greece, because I'm sure you just can't get enough of the food, the ouzo, and everything that's going on in Greece with Grecian basketball. Come on, Rick. Let's take our final break of the hour. We'll be right back in. Hell, we might even take a phone call. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.